With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Howdy, what's happening? How are you today? Let's do it. Good stuff. Take it. Tierney Company alive from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience on this Wednesday around the country, middle of the week, way past the middle of the summer. We're inside the red zone, almost football time. College football this week, some meaningful as it gets, NFL preseason this week, Hard Knocks last night. We're almost there, guys, almost there. So, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM, Channel 206 on the phones, 1-855-212-4227. On Twitter, Tiki and Tierney, at Brandon Tierney, Sirius XM 206. This is, not, you know, the last 2 days I've had to, like, I got worked up, you know, like Gruden annoyed me on Monday with the whole AB kissing his behind, and I was kind of worked up over that. Yesterday I was worked up over Baker Mayfield, and he did kind of circle back, so I'll have to squeeze in a little Baker Mayfield today, in addition to Tony Dungy in studio, which will be pretty sweet. Tiki and Tierney's two-a-days roll on, two good teams, the Chargers. Their tight end, Hunter Henry, will be with us here this hour. They should be very good, and we'll get to the Chargers more so in a minute based on what Rivers said. That's how we'll start the show. And the Browns, we'll preview the Browns. So two very talented teams, two timely stories. It should be a lot of fun. But the last couple days, I've had to show the fangs a little bit, come out swinging. I was a little annoyed. Today, this is a different tone. This is one of these fun conversations because Philip Rivers gave us a little pot of gold in the middle of the week here. I love this stuff. Now, Rivers was on with Dan Patrick, right? And if you've listened to our show, and obviously you're listening now, so you probably listened in the past, and if not, here's the short summation. I have been a staunch detractor. I have been one of the few dissenting voices in the sports universe that has really tried to get separation between championships and where you place in terms of all-time great, you know, lists and all that stuff. I don't believe that there's a complete crossover, that they should be married, that they're fully intertwined. I just don't. And, you know, the easiest example is Dan Marino, who, by the way, when he retired back in 1999, had every pertinent single season and career passing record. No Super Bowl championships. You cannot tell me that Dan Marino is not one of the three or four best quarterbacks in terms of throwing the football to ever walk this planet. You can't. I don't want to hear it. So Philip Rivers goes on Dan Patrick's show, and he said something pretty interesting. Here's part of the transcript, and he makes a lot of sense. He says, quote, I remember thinking about when the Pats beat the Seahawks when they had that interception against Seattle down at the goal line and gave them what, their fourth championship, Rivers said. You know, everybody said, well, he's now the greatest of all time. But I thought to myself, well, I already thought that he was already one of the greatest. I mean, how do you ever really decide that? It's like the old Michael Jordan debate, right? We could talk about that forever as well. But I already thought Brady was already one of the greatest of all time. But because they intercepted, this is where it's interesting. But because they intercepted the pass, he's now the greatest of all time? What if Seattle would have run it in, scored a touchdown? What if Seattle would have won? Brady would have just played the exact same game. He didn't do anything different, you know? And then that's the end of the quotes. And boy, it really is a poignant way and a very direct way to split the atom and get right to the core and the crux of the matter. He ain't wrong. And it's funny. We shape arguments based on, like, ancillary things, although obviously a pick at the goal line is not ancillary, but in terms of Tom Brady being involved in that equation, it's far from ancillary. It's completely disconnected. He wasn't involved at all. But yet, because that play was talked about in practice and that was drilled into the rookie's head, and as soon as Russell Wilson's back foot hit the turf, you got the slant, jumped the route, boom. Belichick taught him. The young kid was ready. Pick. And it elevated, for some, in their minds, the final plateau, the final hurdle over Joe Montana. You know, I'll tell you something else, too. Like, when Kyrie Irving sticks the game winner back in 2016, the NBA Finals, he hits the three-pointer against Golden State, Game 7. You know, the coronation, now LeBron delivers the NBA championship. He did what nobody could do for the city of Cleveland, not the Indians. You know, Bob Feller, go back to the 40s, you know. Certainly not the Cavaliers before LeBron. We know that Brad Daugherty and Ron Harper and those cats certainly tried. Craig Elo, they tried hard. They were pretty good, but never made it. The Browns, we know their plight. And it's largely positioned as, you know, LeBron brought it home for his city. What if that clanks off the back rim and they lose? It's a different narrative. So Phillip Rivers is dropping some serious truth, and I think it's really interesting. That doesn't mean that Tom Brady's not the greatest of all time. I do get separation between the championships and the totality of one's career. I've always done that, and I will always do that. But I do want to point something out for you, all right? Tom Brady, this is where it's amazing. Forget about what he did in his 20s and 30s. Age 35 season, all right? Goes 12-4, and throws 34 touchdowns, 8 picks, and he leads the league in interception percentage. That's the age 35 season. Age 36 season, he leads the league in fourth quarter comebacks, game-winning drives, 5 each, age 36. Age 38 season, he leads the league in touchdown passes. Age 39 season, he leads the league in interception percentage. And in a passing league, that's not a small stat. That's important. Age 40 season, he goes 13-3, and he led the league in passing yards and yards per game. And, of course, a year ago, he wins another Super Bowl. I point this out because you can obviously talk about, well, 9 Super Bowl appearances, 6 championships, blah, blah, blah. I wanted to kind of at least dig into something a little more unique and something that hasn't been regurgitated a million times. But now I want to connect it to some of the other great names of the past. And just once and for all, as we get how Tom Brady's still playing at this level is mind-bending. Truly is. Unless he's doing something illegal. But we won't throw, we would never make that claim. TB12 is on the up and up, I believe. I'm not so sure if the salary cap is, but I think Tom's doing it the right way in terms of what he ingests. Johnny Unitas, all right? Johnny Unitas, age 38, 39, and 40, combined, went 5-9 and threw 10 touchdowns and 22 picks. Johnny Unitas. Terry Bradshaw. Who, and I love Terry. He's been on the show a lot. He's one of the great TV personalities of all time. He's got a small army of championships. I'm sorry. Terry Bradshaw was overrated. I'm sorry. Please. Terry Bradshaw was overrated as a player. He's not in that stratosphere. But for those of you who think he was or is, Terry Bradshaw was cooked by the age of 34. Look it up. Bart Starr, a great luminary from the past, right? His last winning season, I didn't realize this. This, I actually didn't learn something. I didn't think it was quite this early. Bart Starr's last winning season was age 33. Now, I know different generations and different ways to fortify the body, different training technique, sure. But his last winning season was at the age of 33. I would not have really, if you asked me that on the air, if Mike or D-Cell said, hey, here's a trivia question, I would have said, I don't know, 36. Maybe 30, 33, it's young. He finished 4-5, the last four seasons, finished 4-5 twice, went 6-7, and he went 0-2-1. So the great Bart Starr, all right, talk about the names that are vying for that all-time space that Rivers commented with on the Dan Patrick Show. The great Bart Starr was done, for all intents and purposes, useless after the age of 33. And then even Joe Montana, all right, his last 2 years with the Chiefs, we know that, played until the age of 38. 29 touchdowns, 16 picks. Those were the 2 years combined. But yeah, I know we got Kansas City to the playoffs. I know that. But and Montana, for me, is number two. But let's be honest here. Like I do believe we overly romanticize Joe's final couple of years with the Chiefs. I mean, yeah, he was good. He wasn't a whole lot more than that. He was good. He was good. There's a lot of guys who are good. He wasn't still Joe Montana. So I say all this to, number one, give Phillip Rivers props for coming at it from a unique angle. because context is always lost over time. And, you know, funny, again, you listen to the show, the one that I think he's one of the nicest guys on the planet. I really do. Eli Manning's career has just baffled me because he's going to get in. He's got two championships, but he won 21-17 and 17-14 in the Super Bowl. Defense carried him. He never, you know, threw for 300 yards. Yeah, I know the pass to Manningham was sick, 46 yards. I get it. Tyree off the helmet, I know. But down the road, when Eli is, you know, whether it's, well, it's not going to be five, probably 10, 12 years, Eli's going to eventually get in. Not right away, but he will get in. And when he gets in and he's in Canton and it's hot as hell in August in 2028, whatever it is, we're going to largely obscure the minutiae of his career. And a lot of the minutiae was pretty ugly stuff. Giants didn't win, you know, Giants didn't win a lot for a long time, you know, last half of his career. Giants pretty bad. And as I said yesterday, and this is my separating force, you know, just watch football. I mean, how many times was Eli Manning the best quarterback on a Sunday afternoon? In my lifetime, very few. That's why somebody like Matt Ryan, who doesn't have the Super Bowls, certainly doesn't have the Super Bowl MVPs, you watch football. Who's been a better quarterback? Like, who's been more dominant over the course of 17 weeks, encompassing September through late December, over the course of his career? And Matt still has a few years to go. Matt Ryan or Eli? The answer is so obviously Matt Ryan. But that will be forgotten over time because we'll get down to the bottom line assessment. How many championships does he have? And if he has none, Matt's going to get penalized. I love this stuff. I really do. Because I think it challenges you to vividly recollect what actually transpired. Not the lazy profootballreference.com, nighttime Pro Bowler, three-time, you know, first-team All-Pro, led the league in passing four times. Just what do you remember watching, you know? What do you remember watching? The Rivers makes an interesting point, you know? What if Seattle scores? What if they go beast mode, which they should have, and the Pats lose? I still don't think it relegates him to second. It doesn't. Tom Brady, and that's why I ran through what most people either overlook or don't know or just don't take the time to research. You know, what he did at age 35, age 36, age 38, age 39, age 40, and age 41 versus some of those other all-time iconic names that are vying for similar space, the Johnny Unitases, the Bradshaws, the Bart Starrs, the Joe Montanas, the Marinos, although Marino was still really good late, really good. So I find it very interesting. You know, and what's crazy, too, and this does speak to the longevity of athletes now, you know, Peyton threw 50 touchdowns with Denver, you know. When they won the Super Bowl, he was along for the ride. We know that. Drew Brees still humming, you know, still a week-to-week monster. It's all what you're looking for, and you could probably tweak and manipulate a stat or a story to shape your narrative. But that's my narrative. That's the historical narrative. I just dropped a lot of facts on you, incorporated a couple of big names. I love what Philip Rivers said. I do. Not that it's the most unique take. It's not like we've never heard anything remotely like that. But, you know, it does create a different layer to Tom Brady. And it is amazing. I said to my guys the other night, and I can't prove this, that we were two sheets to the wind too at this point. But I was trying to recollect, like, I know in our league certainly, Tom Brady didn't get drafted in fantasy. And we were, like, wondering when we went on my deck after the draft, we were hanging out more, and I'm like, is this the first draft in the history of drafts that Tom Brady didn't get drafted? Or at least certainly the first year that Tom Brady didn't get drafted. And think about that. It's 42, whatever, 41, 42, you know? But he didn't get drafted in our draft. And I understand that when you look at the running back, wide receiver dynamic, take a quarterback in round 7 or 8, there's, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 guys who are going to throw for 4,600, 4,700 yards, and you should be pretty good, you know, if you have running backs and all that stuff. But Rivers gives us an interesting nugget on this midweek in the middle of the, at the end of the summer as we get ready for the NFL. 855-212-4227. And I know there's some of you still hanging on, clinging on to that, like that last remaining molecule of the argument. It's about championships. You still really fully buy that? Even provided the extra context by Rivers, even the context with the Kyrie Irving three-pointer to beat Golden State and how that changes LeBron's legacy, but LeBron didn't impact that final moment. A couple of ways to slice it. We'll keep going with this a little bit. Quarterback talk is always fun. Hunter Henry, he's going to play this year. Hunter Henry is going to join us coming up next on the Charger from the Chargers. So we'll preview them. We will preview the Browns. Tony Dungy in studio. Got a good show. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, summer's here. So is the unbearably hot weather. Think about how much time we spend in the sun over the summer. We also spend a lot of time in our cars during the summer months. You know how that can heat, how the heat can just drain the life out of your battery, and it drains the life out of you. So imagine what it's doing to your car. Summer heats are rough on the batteries. We know this, even more so than harsh winter months. It's actually factual. You would think it might be worse in the cold. It's not. It's worse in the heat. They shorten your battery life. Rising temps can cause battery fluids to evaporate, leading to corrosion on cable clamps and terminals. You always want your car at its peak performance? Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts now and have your battery tested free of charge. Free. Free of charge. They'll do the right thing by you. If it needs replacing, the professional parts people at O'Reilly will help you find the exact superstar battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. To find a store nearest you, just visit O'ReillyAutoParts.com. O'ReillyAuto.com, O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way to save money, switch to Geico. Just go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, SiriusXM 206 on Twitter, Tiki and Tierney, at Brandon Tierney. Instagram, you want to get me directly, 1-855-212-4227, get some calls. You know, Mike came in, and that's how you know it's a fun topic. We forgot we'd come back from break. Diesel had to flag us down and say, yo, you're back from break. Mike and I were having a discussion about this, and Mike asked me a question. I said, Mike, why don't you go back to that and ask me that question on the air? Go ahead, Mike.
Well, it's Philip Rivers. He's making a point that you can't judge a quarterback specifically on Super Bowl wins, right? Obviously, Marino had all these passing records. But he just never – he made one Super Bowl his second year in the league, and since then he never even made it back to the Super Bowl, let alone win one.
Mm-hmm.
So it begs the question, like, if you were to rank all of the qualities when you're looking at all-time great quarterbacks,
mm-hmm.
right, passing yards, touchdowns, wins, losses, playoffs, Super Bowl rings, everything, where do Super Bowl victories and rings mm-hmm. rank on a list when you're looking at all-time great quarterbacks?
For me, probably, and I think this is going to be a lot lower than most people, maybe third or fourth. I, you know, how about this? Can we come up with a football stat? Hold on a second. Might have a genius stroke here. Doesn't happen much. Santa shakes his head, acknowledging that. We have to come up with a stat. You know how we have a stat? We have war. We have OPS, which combines two facets of hitting, right, of offense. Because specific to your question, I would like a combination. I would like a number. Spit me out a number that represents regular season win-loss record, durability, and touchdown-to-pick ratio. And everything else from there, now I can move on and I could judge it individually. Because the reason why I think that that would be a great barometer, was there a stat that I'm in a...
No. D-Cell said that would be a long acronym. War is easy, but if you try to put all those things together, it would be like 19 letters.
That's about 13 or 14 letters minimally, maybe 19. You know, when you get to like divisional rounds, when you get to certainly the conference championships, sometimes you just meet a team that's better. And a quarterback in totality gets penalized, well, no Super Bowls or just one Super Bowl, but... Again, the context of, hey, they ran into a team that was better. And quite frankly, if that quarterback wasn't so great, they probably wouldn't even be at that game. So instead of rewarding him for overachieving, we're burying him for underachieving. I mean, really, we need a stats. Please, some nerd, get in your laboratory, get your calculator out, get your protractor and your ruler and your abacus, if it's even called, I think it's called an abacus. Just get something that is able to denote in totality, a compilation. I want win-loss record, touchdown to pick ratio, and durability. And to me, that will be the most meaningful NFL stat pertaining to a quarterback. Don't give me yards, hollow. Because if your defense stinks and you throw and you're down 30 to 20 or 30 to 13 in the fourth quarter and you put on, like Jameis Winston's done this a lot because the Bucs have been bad. You know, and you pick up 117 empty yards in the fourth quarter and you finish with 319. All right, 319 looks gaudy, but in the context within the framework and the parameter of the game, if you watched the game, you know that he really wasn't dialing in from the opening kick or from the opening series. So it's a half a stroke of brilliance. I'm not smart enough to come up with the stat, but I'm smart enough to point somebody much smarter than me in the direction to come up with the stat.
Now, do you
so get
think,
on that, nerds.
Now, do you think that, like, playoff wins or Super Bowl titles should count in this for a quarterback?
No.
So this is just a regular season performance-based statistic, kind of like war, that will help determine who the best quarterback
Correct.
Is. Not QB rating,
no,
not
that's
QBR.
So stupid. It's so everybody's over. If you're not over 86 or 87, you're terrible. QB rating is a complete waste of time these days with the hollow stats and the inability to really crush the quarterback and play defense. Quarterback rating is weak. It's completely useless. We're on to something here. Win-loss record. How often do you win? How many times during the regular season is your team truly viable? Number one. Number two, touchdown to pick ratio. Do you score points? Do you protect the rock? And number three, are you available most Sundays, every Sunday? I want that stat. That's it. Let's go to George, who is in Long Island. I don't know, 30 miles from here, but about 5 hours in traffic. What's up, George? How you doing today?
Hey, dude, Brandon. How you doing?
Georgie. What's
up,
buddy?
I've been following you a long time, buddy. I actually agree with Philip Rivers on this. I also think he did it for two reasons. One, because I believe he's totally right, because we all look at Super Bowls. Super Bowls is everything, but I think he's totally correct. You can't judge a quarterback just on Super Bowls. The whole career, like you just said. Win-loss, to me, is what is the big thing. I'm also looking at that he did it for his own self because he's basically the only quarterback at that class who has not won a Super Bowl and is going down the Marino trail.
You know what's funny? Well, let me throw this at you, George. I kind of thought the same thing for a moment. I didn't hear the interview with Dan Patrick. I actually read the transcript. And before I got to the bottom of the article, I'd be lying if I said that didn't at least filter into my head for a second. However, he did point out very quickly he made sure to throw himself out there. He's like, listen, I'm 0-5 against Tom Brady, so by no means am I trying to make this a Brady Rivers thing, basically saying I'm nowhere near the guy. He got separation enough for me, George, that I could see why you would think that, but after reading the whole thing, I don't think that was his motivation. Although it could actually maybe indirectly benefit him. I don't think Philip Rivers is that kind of guy. I don't think he's that.
I don't think he's that guy, but I think it will benefit him in the run when he goes to the Hall of Fame.
Oh, he's going.
People who look at it.
So you think he's a Hall of Famer?
Yes.
So do I. Now, are you a Jets or a Giants guy in Long Island? Jets, right?
I'm actually a Denver Bronco fan.
You're a Broncos guy, so you can answer this objectively. Who do you think has had the better career, Eli or Rivers?
Always thought Philip Rivers in my eyes.
Yeah, I mean, Phillip's better on Sundays, but Eli's got the two championships. It's a tough one.
Yeah, that's the Hall of Fame debate that everybody says who's better, and I always say Rivers.
I do, too. George, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you, buddy. 1-855-212-4227. Maybe I'll even come up with an acronym. I'll even help with that. I'll even come up with the acronym for the stat. I can't possibly get behind the math. I'm a verbal guy. That part of the brain doesn't work. Except when it's payday. Win-loss record, touchdown pick ratio, durability factor. Margaret, why do you keep looking at me? Well, she keeps like, why do you keep looking at me?
You're a strikingly handsome man.
Is my head shiny? What's going on? She's got to run it here, and I'm not sweating. I don't think I'm shiny. This is what I see from my makeup artist 5 times in a row.
She's concerned.
Meanwhile, she never listens to a second of the show. That's why I'm like, is something wrong? Everything all right?
She's concerned. If you're schwitzing, then she's going to pay the price.
It usually schwitz, but no schwitzing today. I think I said it differently twice. How do you say it again? Schwitz?
Schwitz.
Schwitz?
Schwitz.
No K, right?
No K.
Just schwitz.
Just schwitz.
So S-C-H-V-I-T-Z?
Yes.
Something like that? All right. Ack, let's get the update from Ack, see what's cooking. A little afternoon baseball. Hunter Henry. from the Chargers will join us next. We'll preview L.A., and then we've got Tony Dungy in studio next hour. Third hour, we'll preview the Browns. And how about Royce White? You know what he said about Carmelo and by extension LeBron? Squeeze a little hoops as well. Get me on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney X update right now.
D-cell.
It is time to ask the pros here on Tiki and Tierney. Give you a chance to ask us anything you want. We do it every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. So just tweet us at CBS Sports Radio and use the hashtag AskThePros to help distinguish it. And we'll take the best one. And I'll answer it before we get out of here right around 6 Eastern. Good stuff here. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. As Tiki and Tierney's 2 days roll on, and this particular team is pretty talented and pretty fun to watch, the Chargers. Okay, so obviously a lot of weapons, and one of them is back fully healthy, tight end. He's got a little wiggle, and he's with us now, Hunter Henry, the Chargers tight end on Tiki and Tierney. Hunter, how are you today? Welcome to the show, buddy. What's happening?
Nothing much, man. Thanks for having me on.
It's an absolute pleasure. I'm doing this for my audience, not to put you on the spot, although obviously I'll ask you at least a question about him. This news just came down, according to Ian Rappaport, running back Melvin Gordon. Looks like the holdout is going to stretch into the regular season. So he is a big part of the team. Before we get to Rivers and the other facets of the team, and again, I'm not trying to put you in a rough spot, but it's probably a pretty glaring absence from camp this summer. How have you guys dealt without Melvin, without Melvin being there?
Yeah, it's different. He's a big-time player for us. I mean, he definitely is really, really good. I mean, we miss him. But, you know, we've got some guys, I think, that are, they've had a great camp. I mean, Justin Jackson, even Pope has come on the last couple weeks. And so, you know, we're going with, you know, these guys are here. We're working with them. But we definitely miss Mel. I hope to get him back as soon as we can.
Yeah, you know, that's one thing about the NFL. It's not really like this in the NBA. It's not like this in baseball. But whether you're holding out or you're hurt, as you were a year ago, let's face it, man, when you're hurt, like, I hate to sound callous, but it's almost like the team forgets about you because they have to. It's always next man up, right?
Yeah, that's the tough part about it. I mean, that's the hardest part, I think, is sometimes you feel isolated and you feel away from the team. And you're not doing everything that everybody else is doing. You're kind of on your own. You're doing your rehab and all that stuff, so... But that's got to be the mentality, or, you know, you're not going to be able to go out there and be successful if you don't have that next man up mentality.
No doubt. Talking to Hunter Henry, really good young tight end, coming back healthy. He's ready to roll with the Chargers. Tiki and Tierney's 2 days. We'll do the Browns coming up in hour number three. Obviously, a lot of stories with Baker. Your division is stacked. I wonder, Hunter, you know, it's funny. We talk about this on the radio, and Tiki obviously is out today. Otherwise, Tiki would be with me. And he knows because he lived it here. But I don't think players really look at it in these terms. But I'll ask you this anyway. Is there any extra urgency to finally crack through for Phillip Rivers because he's a couple of years away from being 40? Like, is that an unspoken or maybe even a spoken aspect of being a Charger at this point?
It's not spoken, but I think it's I think we all know that we definitely, he's winding down on the back. You know, he's coming to the close here. So we definitely, we want it for him. So we're working our hardest every single day so we can definitely get, you know, be the last team standing at the end of it for him.
He is, I love him. I've always loved him. And I would imagine he's got to be great in the huddle. I mean, all these years later, he still has this fire that is so obvious, this energy that is palpable. What's it like playing with such a great quarterback? You got to love it.
Got to love it, man. He's awesome. Incredible guy in the locker room. Fun to be around. He's really easygoing. You know, it might seem like he's super fiery. But when he steps in those lines, he's a different person. He pushes you to, you know, want to be at your best. And so to have your leader and your quarterback to be that into it and just that passionate about it makes you want to step up your level.
That's no doubt. All right, so 2 years ago, this was certainly a big question. Even last year, you know, it was lingering. It's probably the fifth or sixth question, maybe even the seventh question I've thrown at you. So in terms of importance, it's dropped down a little bit here. But the L.A. Chargers now. So you guys have been there for a couple of years. You have your imprint. The Rams have theirs. Does it feel like home yet?
Yeah, I think we're getting used to it. It's, you know, we're enjoying it up here. So, I mean, we've been here now. It's not like this is our first year anymore. So, we're still trying to just continue to build here in L.A. And I think it feels, we're definitely all very comfortable here.
Okay. You know, I look at the snapshot of the team. Top 10 offense in terms of points per game, I think sixth overall, and top 10 defense points per game. So, in terms of, you know, just getting it done big picture, there's a reason why you're 12-4. But as you honestly self-assess the Chargers, to take the next step, what is the biggest weakness that you guys simply must correct? There's always something.
Yeah, it's a tough question. I think we got to increase our strength always, right? But I always got to try to look at our side of the ball, and I think we just need to run the football better. I think that's the biggest thing for us. And obviously, Val being out and not being here, that's tough sometimes. But at the same time, I think that falls on the heads of the tight ends, the offensive line, just being in cohesion, and really, you know, nailing stuff down right now so that when we're rolling in the season, we're able to run the football. Because that's going to set everything else up. That's going to ease the passing game. Obviously, we have a great passing game with the quarterback and receivers we have. But I think if we can run the football, it's going to make everything else easier.
You know, by the way, I'm going to frame this Melvin Gordon thing positively for you. I don't know if this is going to actually come to fruition, but if it does, this could benefit the Chargers in December and maybe even into January. As the report said, you know, Ian Rappaport had this a couple of minutes ago, that the holdout's going to last into the season. If Ian's right, and he's generally well-sourced, so he probably is, if Melvin Gordon doesn't come back until, say, mid-October, whatever it might be, you get a fresh running back who, at the end of the season, doesn't have those 5 or 6 game miles on him and could be fresh. And that's something you haven't had as you've gotten deep into the season. Could that be a positive?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I don't know. I guess that could be a positive. I don't know. I don't know about that. You know, I mean, he's missing all those games. I don't know if that would be a huge positive play. I mean, yeah, it's definitely, he's a great player. And anytime we can add a great player at any time. So it would always help. I mean, he's really good. So.
You know, I'm talking to Hunter Henry, tight end for the Chargers here. Tiki and Tierney's 2 days on CBS Sports Radio. Everybody knows Anthony Lynn's good, and everybody knows he has done a nice job under some tough circumstances. But I feel like when we talk about Anthony Lynn from a national perspective, we kind of gloss over, you know, what he does well and maybe what his best attributes are. What is Anthony Lynn all about? What makes him such a good coach? Because he's doing a nice job.
Yeah, I think he's he's a big time players coach, but he gets us going. You know, he knows kind of when to push us and when to back off a little bit, take care of us, but also when to push us. He's very tough minded. You know, he's all about obviously running the football, being tough, being physical, and you know we get behind that. And he believes in us. I think that's the biggest thing. You know, he's a great motivator, and great at getting us going. And, you know, his attitude, the way he is, just how resilient, just getting through adversity, especially his first year. We started 0-4, first time being a head coach. And just to see his resolve and see his belief in us as to continue to push us every single day, you know, we get behind that, kind of gets us going. And I'm glad we've got him.
Yeah, and, you know, you referenced his first season. If I'm not mistaken, didn't you lose at least two of those games on kicks?
Yeah, it was tough. I mean, you know, of course, you lose them at the last second on kicks, missed field goals. But you know, he just kept chopping away, and I think his just attitude and what he approached every single week, it just carried over to us.
Yeah. You know, if you're gonna play Patrick Mahomes twice a year, and this obviously is for the defense, not for you. You're going to need Derwin James ready to roll. He is. I remember we had him on the show right before the draft, and we knew. I think he went 17th overall with something like that. We knew it was a steal. He's an absolute superstar. How is he feeling? Is he okay?
Yeah, I honestly have no clue. So I don't know. But hopefully he'll be feeling good soon.
So how are you feeling? You know, I probably could have asked you this first. You know, we talked about this with Jimmy Garoppolo, learning to trust his knee again. Have you learned to fully trust your body? Are you doing everything that you were doing before you got hurt?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I'm fully. I don't even think about it anymore.
So, okay.
It's not even like in the back of my mind or anything. It's just me now. So I feel good.
Good. Back to full strength. All right. Before we let you go, who's the team to beat in the AFC? Give me a team. Who is it?
Us, man.
Not a boy. Just checking.
Yeah, baby.
Just checking, man. I like the answer, and I like the quickness. I can't say that I completely disagree either. You're on my short list, so expecting good things for the Chargers. Hunter, nice to have you on the show, man. I'm sure we'll get you back up at some point during the season. Finish up the summer healthy, and we'll see you down the road, buddy. Thank you very much.
Perfect. Thanks for having me on, man.
You got it, buddy. There he is. He's good, man. He is good. Hunter Henry's good. He's a good player. I mean, their offense, Keenan Allen. Now, that Melvin Gordon stuff's interesting. I tried to frame it a little positively. If he gets in there in October, you know, let's say he gets 20-something touches a week between catches and runs and he misses 6 weeks, that's 120 possible violent collisions avoided. And, you know, you get into December, especially if the Chargers have to travel east, and in all probability, between the Pats, or even if it's just another cold weather spot like Kansas City, you know, or if the Steelers, who are going to be very good, or the Browns, if they manage to not implode and they actually all their talent comes to fruition, might not be the worst thing in the world to have him on ice for the. But that's if he comes back. Who knows? Who the heck knows? It's crazy how these guys. Listen, Melvin Gordon, let's not waste anybody's time and put Melvin Gordon in the same space as Zeke or Saquon. But, I mean, it is ridiculous. It really is ridiculous how much, like, these guys have to go through fire hoops to get paid. It's a joke. It's such a joke. It's almost like if I know you can't do this, but knowing how running backs are treated financially, I know my partner would co-sign this as well, it drives them nuts. If I'm a parent, if I'm Melvin Gordon's parent, and Melvin Gordon's 9, and somebody theoretically says, all right, obviously you have a specimen on your hands, he could play running back or he could play center field. Go play center field. Go play center field. Or go play point guard, you know? Be the next John Moran. It's just ridiculous what these guys have to go through to get paid. I mean, you're talking about $7, $8 million, which I know that this sounds grossly irresponsible, but in today's day and age, it's not nearly as much money as you think. Let's say you make $8 million. Boom, you bring home 4. Right away, you bring home 4. 4 of the 8. Your agent gets a little cut, buy a home. Before you look up, it's not like these guys have, you know, $20, $30, $40 million in the bank. You get some endorsements, but when was the last time you saw Melvin Gordon pushing something of national prominence? I'm sure he's doing stuff in San Diego. I don't even know if he's doing stuff in L.A. Now, Saquon's different. Saquon's going to pop. Zeke's going to do national stuff. But I don't know. I mean, if you're – what do you think, Mike? What do you think Melvin Gordon is probably the – let me answer my own question. I would put Joe Mixon in front. I think Joe's going to be great this year. Obviously, Saquon, Zeke. When Kareem Hunt is there, he's right. Todd Gurley, if he's healthy, obviously. I would say Melvin Gordon is a top 10 running back, but he's a lot closer to 10 than he is 1. Like, if one or two guys emerge this year, I think Nick Chubb's going to emerge for the Browns. We'll talk about them in the third hour. If he's the 9th or 10th running back, I mean, you just shouldn't have contractual squabbles. It's blatantly unfair, but, you know, that's why I've been saying this for years to Teak. Listen, if you have that much of an issue with the setup, balk, strike, and force the owners to reset the CBA when you go to negotiating table and have something that's more equitable, because it's a disgrace. Well, I mean, how these guys are treated. It really is. for the talent. Now, it's an interchangeable position. Yeah, I know. Kareem Hunt went out. Damian Williams was pretty good. I got it. But you're the starting running back on a team that won 12 games. Come on. 855-212-4227. Did you get that off my eye? I think it was glitter from Kinsley's dress from her birthday party. She was Elsa over the weekend. No, I was not where you said I was. Come on. Second hour coming up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.